You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our fantasy football hour. It's going to be awesome. And we started with a guy who is a fantasy expert for EstablishTheRun.com, Evan Silva, joining us to talk about quarterbacks here on the show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Evan, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, we really appreciate you being here. And let's talk a little quarterback and your in your rankings. Pat Mahomes, the obvious number one. What's the earliest, Evan, that you would ever – Pat Mahomes will get you – you guaranteed, probably guaranteed that you're going to lead the league with in quarterback and how many points he scores every game. Where's the earliest you would draft him?
Well, I think that it depends upon how you invest your first two picks in the draft. Now, if you draft Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce, and both of those guys are worth first-round picks in my mind, then I'd be much likelier to take Patrick Mahomes in the second round or early in the third round. But other than that, I'm probably not going to come out of my draft with Patrick Mahomes because, you know, at the quarterback position, the points are really replaceable because everyone scores a lot of points at this position at this point. You know, and you can replace his scoring. Like, for instance, last year, Josh Allen outscored Patrick Mahomes, and he went four rounds later. I actually have Josh Allen ranked as this year's number one fantasy quarterback, not Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, because of the rushing touchdowns that he gets.
And exactly.
They show no willingness to change that up. I mean, what we're watching is Cam Newton 2.0. right now with how Josh is using, only maybe a little more consistent as a deep threat and a better deep target. I'm curious, so we know those two are the top two, Mahomes and Josh Allen, but you know, Kyler Murray is sitting there in most circles. They've got him number three. How do you tier off the top, you know, the tier one quarterbacks and then the tier two quarterbacks? How do you have them from a tiering standpoint?
Yeah, well, I think that Lamar Jackson also belongs in that tier. Now, he did not have his best season last year. He started off slowly, but in the back half of 2020, he was right up there scoring with Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes in that same range. He finished as the quarterback eight. The year before that, he was the quarterback one. The problem this year, though, is that, you know, Marquise Brown has been out for all of training camp. Rashad Bateman, their first-round pick, it looks like he might not play until late September, early October. So I do think he belongs a little bit below the others. And then Dak Prescott rounds out that top tier. But he has, you know, he's at the bottom of the tier because we can't for sure trust his health. He dealt with the ankle injury last year. He had two surgeries on that ankle. And I've read some doctors that believe that compensating for that ankle injury has contributed to this injury to his throwing arm. Now, everyone says that he's going to be ready week one, but still it lends some pause and keeps him at the bottom end of that tier.
Where do you – and we're talking with Evan Silva here on ESPN 97.5, EstablishTheRun.com, at Evan Silva on Twitter. Where Baker Mayfield – his second year now with Kevin Stefanski. Does he take a big jump?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question that we'll obviously not, you know, it's tough to answer right now. Over the back, but he was a player that really did not perform at his peak in the first half of 2020. Now, there wasn't a lot of practice time. He was learning a new offense. You know, they lost Odell Beckham early. Jarvis Landry was coming off the hip procedure and wasn't 100% at any point. But in the second half of the season, the Browns started to open up the offense, showed more trust in Baker Mayfield, and he was really good down the stretch. Now they're getting Odell Beckham back. Jarvis Landry should be back to 100%. So I think that the table is kind of set for Baker Mayfield to take a leap in his second full season under Kevin Stefanski.
Who's on your do not draft list from a quarterback? You know, I think, Evan, I know that it's talked about a lot in fantasy football that, you know, you have guys you want to target certain guys headed into a draft or an auction, and then you want to have guys that you say, I'll project them with this amount of points, but I don't want them personally. Who's on your do not draft list for quarterbacks this year?
I think that based on where Matthew Stafford has been going in drafts, and now I love the addition of Matthew Stafford in real life football.
Right.
But where he has been going in drafts, which is like right around quarterback 10, quarterback 11, I think he's more likely to finish a little bit outside of the top 12 as opposed to where he's going. I just think he's going a little bit too early. He doesn't give you anything really with his legs. And the Rams have been a pretty balanced offense to the extent that they're going to be good on defense. I don't think that they're going to have a ton of pass volume. So, you know, again, not contributing as a rusher, and he's not going to lead the NFL in pass attempts. I think that he is being drafted a little bit too early right now.
You trust Trevor Lawrence to be your starter this year?
Fantasy?
I think when he plays the Texans, he's going to have some big games. But other than that, I'm not trusting him. Especially during the preseason. I mean, the Jags just have not looked like they're going to come out of the gates fast.
Apparently, you haven't seen the Texans this preseason. Just all the takeaways, Evan. So this is a new era in Texans defense.
You know who else you haven't seen on Hard Knocks? Dak Prescott actually playing football. Where do you have Dak? Yeah. So Dak is a guy to me that is a real feast or famine. From watching Hard Knocks, you understand that the shoulder really isn't probably as big a concern. If you don't pay attention to it at all, you might be a little more concerned with drafting him. There's plenty of weapons over there. How do you like Dak Prescott? A lot of people have him at number 4, number 5 in their fantasy football rankings. Where would you take a Dak Prescott?
Yeah, and I have him at 5. I have him at 5. And of course, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup. You know, I think CeeDee Lamb might be the next Larry Fitzgerald. I think that he might have that type of year. You know, 115 catches, you know, 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns. Like, I think that CeeDee Lamb is headed for a monster season. I am a little concerned about Amari Cooper's foot, and Michael Gallup was really up and down last season. It looks like he's going to play a similar role where he's running a lot of clear out routes in that. But with Dak Prescott, I think that all signs point to him being ready for week one. You know, is he going to maintain that health? That injury that he suffered last year was really, really ugly. Are they going to not let him run as much? Because that has been a pretty big key to his value. Especially around the goal line, he's been a guy who has rushed for a lot of touchdowns. He's not necessarily going to, you know, run for 30 or 40 yards a game, but they have used him a lot around the goal line. Are they going to scale that back a little bit? Those are the concerns that I have with Dak Prescott.
Evan Silva with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 talking quarterbacks. We'll talk about running backs, wide receivers, and the tight ends and sleepers as well in this hour. You're staying away from Joe Burrow?
Well, I think that Joe Burrow is going to end up having a good season. I love the weapons that they've put around him, but I think he's probably going to start slow. You know, week one against Minnesota, that defensive line that Minnesota has put together, especially after they're getting back Daniel Hunter. They just re-signed Everson Griffin. You know, Michael Pierce is coming back after opting out of last year. Dalvin Tomlinson, I mean, they have a beastly front four, and I'm worried about that going up against this Cincinnati offensive line. And the reports, you know, if you read The Athletic, if you read the Cincinnati Inquirer, the Bengals have really started slow in training camp. I think that's probably going to pour over into the start of the regular season. I think he's going to be a guy that you don't want to start early, but as he starts to get more comfortable on that repaired knee, because he tore his ACL and his MCL last week 11. I mean, that's not terribly long ago. You know, that's last November. I think as he gets more comfortable on that knee, then he's going to start to pick it up. I think he's going to start slow.
I want to ask you about a couple guys that have the ability to get you some points on the ground, which is important. Two guys, and we'll wrap it up. Jalen Hurts, who I think from an ADP standpoint is, I think, somewhere around the ninth round, and then Justin Fields going late in the draft. How do you view these two guys?
I love both of them, and I would add Trey Lance into that little tier of guys that can run. Now, you know that Jalen Hurts is going to start early in the season, and so you know you can pick him, and I mean he's got a really soft schedule to begin the year. I think he's going to start fast, but I don't know how he's going to hold up over the course of the year. You know, he's got issues as a passer, and he's had those since you go back to Alabama. And then the opposite is the case with Trey Lance and Justin Fields, because it looks like neither of those guys is going to start week one, but you know that they're going to start sooner rather than later. So you got to pick another quarterback, you know, to sort of build a bridge to Trey Lance and Justin Fields. But I think that once those guys get under center, they're both going to have a chance to be top five fantasy quarterbacks the rest of the way, because they're both dynamic dual threats. Justin Fields, I think, is going to be kind of playing with his, you know, he's going to have to run for his life a little bit. Now, that can be good in fantasy, whereas Trey Lance, dropping him into a Kyle Shanahan offense with, you know, Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel and George Kittle and a pretty good offensive line. You think back to RG3, he didn't have nearly as many weapons as Trey Lance is going to have when he gets in there. I think Trey Lance is going to tear it up. It's just, you have to find a quarterback to sort of tide you over until Trey Lance gets in the lineup.
That's Evan Silva. EstablishTheRun.com at Evan Silva on Twitter. We appreciate it, Evan. Thanks for hanging with us. Great info, and have yourself a great fantasy season.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Next up, Field Yates. We'll talk running backs here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, don't forget, next week, ESPN 97.5 will be giving away tickets to Cirque du Soleil. Shows in Las Vegas. One grand prize winner will win a full trip to Vegas, complete with hotel stay and airfare. Be sure to keep your dial locked on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for your chance to win. Joining us right now, Field Yates, NFL insider for ESPN, co-host of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. You can find him on Twitter, at Field Yates. He breaks a lot of stuff. He got great information. He is a really good follow, so follow Field Yates. Field, welcome to the show. How are you?
Guys, it's a pleasure to be on. I appreciate you having me on, and I cannot wait for the fantasy football season. Heck, the football season for real purposes as well. One of the best times of the year is ahead on for all of us right now. It's a great, great time of the year.
You are on. First of all, congratulations on your ascension up the. You're in your prime right now. You are on a lot of different programs.
You don't know
programs.
That he's in his prime.
Yeah, I think he's. Oh. Boy, it could be a long prime.
Okay.
Field is doing a lot of different. You're doing a lot of different stuff. But where you got your background, where you got your start, was fantasy football, and y'all's marathon fantasy football stuff that you do, is that fun, or is it still fun for you? At some point, it becomes work. Is it work for you, or is it still fun?
It still hasn't felt like work, which is, you know, the old saying a lot of football coaches live by this, is that, you know, if it doesn't feel like work, you can't really call it a job. So the marathon is a little bit of a test of your willpower, but in previous years, we've done 26 or 28 straight hours of coverage that was exclusively fantasy football. Like, if you were watching First Take, it wasn't even First Take. It was debating fantasy football topics. We've pared the marathon down a little bit in recent years, which has made it a bit more, I would say, achievable. And you can sustain your energy a bit more during the course of the marathon. But it's always a fun time, and it's sort of the ceremonial kickoff to the fantasy football season. So I'm certainly hyped about that this year.
Field Yates talking running backs here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's get to it. Christian McCaffrey, the consensus number one. Are you at all afraid of him, you know, in a comeback year?
I am not, and there are a few reasons why. First of all, this is not something that's happened to Christian McCaffrey much in the past. Prior to last year, he had to miss a high school game, had to miss a college game, other than when he opted out of the bowl game during his final year at Stanford, and he had never missed an NFL game or practice in Carolina. And unlike Saquon Barkley, who's coming off of an ACL tear, Christian McCaffrey dealt with less significant injuries. They were significant enough to cost him time during that season, but they weren't the kind of injury that impacted his long-term outlook. So while Christian McCaffrey did play only three games last year, and some are saying that the resume is stronger for a player like Dalvin Cook or Alvin Kamara, I'll remind everybody that when Christian McCaffrey did play last year, he averaged over 30 fantasy points per game in PPR scoring, which would have been laps ahead of anybody else in fantasy last year. So the value of Christian McCaffrey, not just as a runner, but the best pass-catching running back in the league, is so astronomical that if I had the first overall pick, I'll hear other arguments, but I'm still going Christian McCaffrey over time.
Hey, I'm not even interested in other arguments. I tried to find a reason to, and I do think that, you know, I do think that Dalvin Cook, if he stays healthy, but that's a big if for Dalvin Cook. And, you know, I'm curious what you think about Dalvin Cook, Kamara. Everyone has Dalvin Cook. Everyone has it like this, for the most part. Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, or Kamara, two or three. Then you have Derrick Henry, four, and then a lot of people have Ezekiel Elliott, five. That's how the ADP is lining up, the average draft position. The guy that I think deserves a little earlier juice is Jonathan Taylor, whose average draft positioning is a little further down, but he's a guy that I have seen some people sneak into the top five running backs because, let's face it, the Colts are going to run the ball a lot.
They're going to run the ball a ton, and I am more optimistic than I think most on Jonathan Taylor this year. And you can remember just a few weeks ago when everybody was starting to teeter a little bit on Jonathan Taylor because of the fact that Quentin Nelson was going to potentially miss time, Carson Wentz potentially missing time could have impacted the way the defenses attacked the Colts. It seems like both those players will be back early on this regular season, which should allow the offense to be as structured. And you know, ultimately, we always talk about fantasy football coming down to two things. It's opportunity and talent. Marlon Mack's going to be back, and maybe he has some carries per game. But the talent of Jonathan Taylor is what I'm trusting more than anything else. This is a record-setting running back during his time at Wisconsin, and while he didn't have a ton of catches last year, he was super efficient when he did get targets, caught, I want to say, the highest percentage of his targets last year amongst all running backs. So he's a very capable pass catcher. If the Colts open that part of the playbook open a little bit more, then I think they have a chance to unlock a top five running back. I'm with you there. It's just so hard to unseat any of those first five because of the fact that they have been there and done that a little bit longer.
If you're sitting at six, are you taking Barkley?
I'm starting to waver on it. For a while, I would have told you, yes, I am. But I buy all of what the Giants are telling us, and I do not fall for everything that teams tell us during the preseason. And coaches are not trying to be deceitful. They're just also trying to be very tactical in what they say. And sometimes they're protecting the players more so than they are sort of giving you the full context of the situation. But I think Saquon Barkley is going to maybe play in week one, but certainly doesn't feel like in week one the Giants are going to say, here's 26 carries and six catches or six targets for you, which, you know, Christian McCaffrey, I could easily see him getting 30 touches in the very first game of the Panthers season this year. So I find myself leaning towards Travis Kelce in that spot. And Kelce's 32, and I suppose once you cross that side of 30, there's always the chance that the wheels fall off and it happens unexpectedly. But this is a player who's got five straight seasons of over 1,000 receiving yards. No other tight end in NFL history has 6 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Kelce's done it in five straight. So I think there's a chance that he could get to six straight 1,000 receiving yards this season without too much effort. And he's sort of a cheat code, given the position he plays, the quarterback he plays with, his own ability. If you draft Travis Kelce, the leg up that you are building every single week at tight end is dramatic. Yes, Darren Waller is an outstanding player, George Kittle as well, and there are going to be some really, really good tight ends like Kyle Pitts and T.J. Hockenson in the NFL this year. But it's clear Travis Kelce is not just the best amongst tight ends, there's a very, very strong case. He's the most consistent player in fantasy football, and that's 4 or 5 years running now.
I'm going to throw a little cluster buster at you, 4 different running backs, and give me your rank, how you would rank these guys 1 through 4. David Montgomery with the Bears, Mike Davis with the Falcons, Miles Sanders with the Eagles, and Javonte Williams with the Denver Broncos. How do you, if you were going to draft them, and you eventually will have to look at that, how do you have it slotted in those 4?
Yeah, all 4 are sort of comparable territory. I would get Miles Sanders 1, most explosive. Maybe Javonte Williams will make me regret saying that, but Miles Sanders, very explosive back in his own right, had 3 separate games last year with a 70-plus yard rush, and drops were an issue last year for Miles Sanders, but he's a natural pass catcher. He did it at Penn State when he got opportunities, and has done it for the first 2 years of his NFL career as well. He'd be number 1 for me. David Montgomery, number 2. I hope he can turn the narrative around this year, because despite the way that he finished last season, which was with 8 games, they were unbelievable. People are still saying things like, well, soft schedule, and, you know, he got all the work because there's no Tariq Cohen, or there was no Tariq Cohen last year. Well, Tariq Cohen's still on PUP. We're 2 weeks away from the season opener, at least for the Bucs and the Cowboys. Like, I think it's pretty clear that David Montgomery is going to be a guy in Chicago. He's a better player than the soft schedule narrative suggests. Number 3 for me will be Mike Davis, who right now has about as little competition for carries in the NFL. I mean, it's just like it's a bunch of unknowns in that backfield behind him. And then Javonte Williams. But at the end of the season, or by the midway point of the season, Williams could be the 2nd amongst those backs. I just think that while Melvin Gordon probably is in his last year in Denver, the guy who still finished 10th in the league in running last year, he's only 28 years old. He's had plenty of really, really good fantasy weeks in his career. The Broncos, I don't think, took Javonte Williams just to accommodate their 2021 needs. That felt like he could help us in 2021, but he can also be our guy from 2022 for 5 or 6 years straight after that.
I took Edwards-Helaire early last year, Field, and I'm disappointed. One of the biggest reasons is that around the goal line, he's not any good. He can't.
It was a weakness in college, too. He's not a pile mover.
He can't bust a grape. Is he going to be any better this year?
I don't know, because I remember last year, after the very first game against the Texans, they were telling people, like, my takeaway was, and you always want to walk that line very carefully between the first week of the season and not overthinking it too much. But I'm sitting there saying, guys, like, I watched a player get prime opportunities. I want to say it was like 3 carries at the 2-yard line or closer, and he made nothing of them. He got stuffed 3 times, and he's 5'8", 190, 195 pounds. But this is not Derrick Henry or, you know, even a lesser but still powerful back. So given the fact that his build's not going to change and the Chiefs can turn on a moment's notice to anybody from the goal line. I mean, look at what they did last year. Freaking Travis Kelce is throwing passes last year at the goal line. Or they're running that play where they're throwing, you know, screens to the fullback, like these little scoop screens, where Patrick Mahomes is basically underhand tossing it. Like, no team has more ways to score from 5 yards and in than the Chiefs. And touchdowns are ultimately what can make a player a star in fantasy. So Edwards-Helaire is going to be probably somewhere between RB 15 and 20 off the board. But I don't know that the RB1 ceiling we had hoped for when he was drafted last year is in the cards this season.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, give us your sleeper, your top running back sleeper this year, who, and when I say sleeper, somebody who you think needs to be drafted or that you need to focus on, even if they get drafted later. And I also want to ask you specifically, is Sony Michel, he was traded yesterday to the Rams. Does Sony Michel factor in as a fantasy option for drafts now that he is with the Rams? So those 2 questions.
Yeah, he does. And I'll answer the 2nd one first, only because the answer, I think, is a little bit easier. He does. I've got him ranked as RB35, which, you're not a starter, a guy that's useful on your bench. I think Michelle's going to prove some people not wrong, but Shelby's still got some juice. The big thing with Michelle is whether or not he gets involved in the passing game. He was involved in the passing game in college. Has not been that much in his first 3 seasons of his career. I think has shown some better pass-catching ability in training camp this year. But if Darrell Henderson's getting all the targets, it really caps the value for Michelle. as far as a sleeper goes, you know, I always tell people that sleepers are no longer players that you've never heard of. It's players that you know the name of. I just like them more than where they're being drafted. And A.J. Dillon's a name that comes to mind for me for the Packers. Second-round pick last year out of Boston College. He's not Derrick Henry, but he's about as close as you'll see build-wise, or up there at least, amongst running backs. He's all of 250 pounds, ran well. I mean, ran fast, I should say, during the whatever pre-draft process it was last year, the virtual pre-draft process. I think he's got a chance to break out for the Packers this year, not necessarily at the cost of Aaron Jones, but alongside Aaron Jones, and sort of fill that Jamal Williams, not passing game role, but 25 to 50% of the running back plays per game role, which I think could be really useful. I think the Packers are going to score a ton of points, and A.J. Dillon's just a darn good player.
That's Field Yates right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And once again, you can listen to him, the Fantasy Focus football podcast, and follow him on Twitter at Field Yates. I'm following him. He's great. Got great information. So follow him at Field Yates. Field, great to have you back here. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll be able to talk again soon.
All right, guys. I appreciate you having me on. Have a great rest of the hour here, and let's have an awesome season.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. Next up, Dave Richard. He's going to talk about tight ends and sleepers. He's a football expert for CBS Sports. So we'll do that on the other side. Don't you go anywhere.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on the show, our Fantasy Football Hour, and it continues with another great guest, Dave Richard, joining us here on the show. He is a fantasy football expert for CBS. You can follow him on Twitter, at Dave Richard. Dave, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I've been waiting all day to speak to a real legend, a guy I hold in high regard.
Thank you.
John, it's great to speak to you.
I knew it. What a setup. You know, Dave was actually, when we did 610, we did our fantasy football thing with, when we were at 610 years ago, Dave came down, flew down to Houston to be part of a little symposium we did. You remember that, Dave?
I do. Were you at the one where Earl Campbell was at?
I don't think I was at that one. Yeah, I think
okay,
I.
Okay, so you were at the better one. That's good.
Yeah, I was at the better one. And by the way, we definitely appreciate you taking the time to join us. We know you got a tight schedule today. I want to get right to it. So we know Travis Kelce is going to be the first tight end drafted. The second one's going to be Darren Waller. I think for most people, are people sleeping a little bit on George Kittle? Are we forgetting what George Kittle was when he was fully healthy with Jimmy Garoppolo? I mean, how far away are you letting, or how far of a chasm is there for you between Darren Waller and George Kittle?
There isn't one, and I'm glad you brought it up, because if you go back to 2019, Kittle was averaging 15.2 PPR points per game. That was almost 2 points per game better than Waller during Waller's breakout year. And if we just go on points per game again last year, and obviously the big deal, Kittle being hurt, missing half the season, he was 2 points behind Waller in PPR points per game. There's two issues in play with George Kittle. Number one, he's never been a big touchdown scorer, and that may certainly continue to be the case with Trey Lance under center. Lance has looked hot and cold, in my opinion, this preseason. Some amazing plays and then some throws that he missed and some guys who were open that he missed. So it makes me a little nervous whenever he gets in there. And he'll also steal some rushing touchdowns in short area. But the other thing is the injuries. And Kittle is a little bit of an older tight end. Maybe has lost his luster in the eyes of fantasy managers. But he still has great value. And so what I usually like to, if I'm taking Waller, it's going to be late round two at the absolute earliest. But if I've got one of those draft slots, say 5, 6, 7, 8, and I'm looking for a tight end to start my team with, I'm not going to take one in round two. I'm going to hope that Kittle makes it back to me in the middle of round three. That's the sweet spot for him. That's where I think he should go. And if I miss on him, there are other tight ends after him who could be picked up in rounds 4 or 5 in that exact same range.
Few people, I don't know how many people know this, but Robert Tonyan had just as many touchdowns as Travis Kelce last year. Now, I'm not saying he's Travis Kelce, but I see everywhere I see Robert Tonyan is 11, 13, 12.
I don't know why people are acting like Aaron Rodgers isn't going to find Robert Tonyan again.
I know. So where are you?
The same way.
Where you got Tonyan, Dave?
So he's in my top 12, but he's toward the bottom of it, and it's because he just feels like a touchdown-dependent tight end. And I know, listen, that he came through last year, and what I'm hearing out of Green Bay is that Tonyan's going to continue to be that guy. But when I'm looking for a tight end that I think can break out and have a smash season, I'm looking for a tight end who could be first or second on his team in targets. I'm not sure if Tonyan can be second on the team. And we know he's not going to be first unless something happens to Davante Adams, and then it's going to be a catastrophe. If he's second on the team in targets in Green Bay, does that look like 100 targets? Does it look like 85 targets? That's what worries me. I don't want to have a tight end, if I don't have to, who's going to be someone who I have to hope scores a touchdown. I want a tight end who's going to be able to get me 70 yards some weeks and give me 7 non-PPR points. That's good in non-PPR. Or 11 PPR points. So I consider him more of a guy who I'm okay having as my tight end to begin the season. And, yeah, if he goes on a touchdown streak, then sure, I'll keep him on my roster. But he's not somebody that I'm targeting necessarily.
Well, who is somebody that's going to get – name a couple of guys that are going to be the number two targets on their team.
Can I name a guy who's going to be number one on his team?
Yeah.
That's T.J. Hockenson in Detroit. I look at that Lions passing game, and I was there for their first preseason game, and you know, Tyrell Williams was beat up all the time, and he's been in the league for a while and just feels like a journeyman. And they've got some young talent that's interesting. Quintez Cephas is one of them. You remember him from Wisconsin. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown, good slot receiver. He actually started their first preseason game in the slot, could end up being a decent guy for them. But I think Hockenson's going to be the one. I think he's going to be the guy that, if he's not second on the team in targets, I think he's going to be first. Certainly has a chance to pick up over 90 catches this year. That's the kind of guy I'm looking for in that round 5-6 range. If I miss on Kelce and Waller and Kittle, he's somebody who should be able to pick up a lot of volume in a Lions passing game. That's probably going to be very involved because their run game is a huge question mark. Another guy who I think could be second on his team in targets and is a little underrated right now, his ADP is right around 100 overall, it's Logan Thomas. And we know that he was outstanding last year. And a lot of that was a byproduct of him being just a short area target for Alex Smith. Alex Smith, the check down king, throwing these short passes. It added up for Logan Thomas. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick likes throwing to Logan Thomas, and he's way more of a wide receiver than he is a tight end. So you could see him getting plenty of targets still from week to week and maybe even being more efficient on them, having a better yards per catch average, having the metrics that you like to see, as well as being a good red zone target because he's so big. Those are two tight ends that I'm looking for. Hockenson, round 5 or round 6. Logan Thomas, I'm willing to take as soon as late round 7, but you might be able to find him in round 8 or round 9 in near drafts.
Yeah, 100, by the way, 101 targets last year for Hockenson. I didn't realize it was that high. Here's a guy that has tons of athletic potential, was targeted in a high 90s last year, I believe, and that's Noah Fant. But now he doesn't have Drew Lock at quarterback, which might be a good thing. That's why I'm asking. He had 2 touchdowns early on, only had 1 by the end of the season. Can Noah Fant take that next step fantasy-wise? Is he a decent later-round tight end with Teddy Bridgewater named as starter?
He's the J.K. Dobbins of tight ends, and what I mean by that is that he's a fantastic athlete, but he's just in a tough spot because you look in Denver with Courtland Sutton coming back and Jerry Jeudy taking a step up. I love Jeudy this year, by the way. I would take him in round 5. I know his ADP, and then we're not talking about receivers, but Jeudy is somebody who's going to be on all of my teams. I'm worried about Noah Fant, just his usage. The fact that he was barely targeted in the red zone last year, he was tied for tight end 18 in red zone targets last year with 10. Why isn't a guy who's as big and as athletic as Noah Fant not getting more work in the red zone? It beats me, and that's something that his coaches might be able to answer. And if they're not using him in the red zone last year with Drew Lock, do I really think that's going to change this year? I'm not so certain. Now there's a leg injury on top of it. Fant is in that round 8, round 9 range as well. I'd rather have Logan Thomas.
If I tell you, everyone who doesn't take Kyle Pitts after Kelce will regret it, is that a possibility?
No, because I think that Waller and Kittle are still guys that'll end up finishing better than Pitts. I feel a little lucky because the Falcons practiced in South Florida for a couple of days before their preseason game, and I got to go to one of the practices. And, you know, the general public has not seen Kyle Pitts play in a football game, a preseason game anyway, in a Falcons uniform. I have. He's quick and he's tall, and he's going to be used in the red zone for sure. Played a ton with the first team offense. I don't think any of this is a surprise to you, Lance. I think fantasy managers are drafting Kyle Pitts with the understanding of, yes, he's an unknown. Yes, he's a rookie tight end. But if you don't think of him as a tight end and you think of him as a wide receiver who just happens to play tight end and you can start him as a tight end in your fantasy league, you should be a little more interested in getting him on your roster. Just to tell you, the ultimate sign of respect, by the second day of joint practices, the Dolphins were bracketing Pitts. They weren't worried as much about Calvin Ridley. Now, granted, they've got really good cornerbacks, but they were putting two guys on Kyle Pitts because they knew that he'd be a problem, even in joint practice. So I see him as a round five guy. Personal preference has him behind Hockenson and Andrews for me, but there's no doubt he's got great upside.
Great insight, as always. Dave Richard, follow him online on Twitter, at Dave Richard. You can check out a lot of his information. Is going to be available, as it has for years and years, at CBSSports.com. Check out their fantasy section. They do a great job over there. Dave, thanks for taking the time to join us today. We appreciate it, man.
You got it, gentlemen. Good luck in your draft.
Appreciate it. Adam Rank up next from NFL Network. We're talking wide receivers to finish up strong. Don't you go anywhere.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, joining us right now, let's get into it quick because we don't have a lot of time, and I want to use as much of it to talk wide receivers with Adam Rank, my buddy from NFL Network and NFL.com. He does a fantastic job. Thanks for waking up and doing this with us. Let's get right into it. The wide receiver position is obviously a deep position. I want to get from a strategic standpoint as a draft guy, when you enter into your draft, how are you approaching wide receiver? Are there certain guys that you're willing to pull the trigger on early, or are you a guy that likes to sit back and then hoard them in the mid-rounds?
Hey, Lance, first of all, thank you so much for having me. By the way, I have kids, so there's no way I was asleep at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
I will say this, you know, for the longest time, I've been kind of zero RB adjacent, where I like to fire in on some of the big names. Obviously, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams. Last year, had a lot of success going with Devontae Adams and Travis Kelce at the top of draft. But this year, I've kind of switched it around. And I'm really starting to now focus more on wide receivers later on in the draft and going two running backs to start, sometimes three, just because of the scarcity of the position. And honestly, there's a couple of veteran guys, and Lane, I hope you don't mind, I'm just going to jump into it. There's a couple of veteran guys who've really shown through training camp that they can be real big this season. Obviously, Corey Davis looks like the number one target for the New York Jets. Zach Wilson really seems to like him, really seems to trust him. And he had his breakout last year. You know, sometimes you're worried about that because it can be a little bit of a fluke, a little Gary Matthews Jr. type thing. I don't know why that was the example. I'm an Angels fan, so that's why I use that one. But, you know, you kind of get, I'm still upset about it. We could have had, anyway, that's not what you're asking. But Corey Davis has been looking pretty good. Marvin Jones Jr. looks like a reliable receiver for Trevor Lawrence. I know a lot of people love DJ Chark, but really, it's going to be Marvin Jones Jr. and probably now LaVisca Chenault. Because with Travis Etienne going on and everybody going back to James Robinson, you're ignoring the fact that they're going to use LaVisca Chenault in a variety of different ways. And then there was a third one. I can't even think of it right now. But anyways, I like to wait a little bit and just let those wide receivers fall to me.
So you wouldn't take Devontae Adams on the first round?
No. I'm going to go running back there. You know, honestly, some of the running backs that are available at the end of the first round include guys like Austin Eckler, who I think is being overlooked this year, despite the fact that the Chargers rebuilt the offensive line. I really like Antonio Gibson, Najee Harris. Those are guys that I might have passed over previously to go with Devontae Adams, but I'm now going to go ahead and just take the running back. Plus, you know, the thing with the Packers, too, I know I'm going to sound like a little bit of a hater, but they still have some issues on their offensive line, you know, and I
Yeah.
I just hate chasing fantasy points, especially with top receivers. You know, last year everybody was still drafting Michael Thomas, and you're like, he's a great player, but that was a magical season. So at the same time, you know, I would rather project somebody who could step forward instead of trying to look at somebody who was good last year. Not that it won't be great, but I just don't think he's going to be worth the first round pick.
So last year was a huge statistical season from the standpoint of, you know, targets, catches, and yards for DeAndre Hopkins. It just didn't feel like it had as much juice, and I know that's because he only had 6 touchdowns. His touchdown numbers have been down the last 2 seasons. You've got A.J. Green that's joining, albeit a much older A.J. Green. How do you envision DeAndre Hopkins this year? Heavily targeted, I don't doubt that, but where do you see the touchdown numbers bouncing back, or is that just not going to be what happens in Arizona?
Yeah, that's one of the things about the wide receiver position especially, is that touchdowns are so volatile. You know, they can go either way, one way or the other. Like, if you look at Stephon Diggs, for instance, overall, his touchdown numbers were okay. But 3 of those touchdowns came in his final game. I know, I played him in the championship week. So, I played against him, I should say. So, it is one of those things like, it's very tough to predict. But the thing with DeAndre Hopkins, it's kind of what you're talking about. He was 35% of the Cardinals' offense last season, which is incredible. And now you look at A.J. Green. He's an older veteran presence. That's fine. Rondale Moore's coming in there as well. To me, I still believe that the Cardinals can be better offensively because Kyler Murray really slowed down at the end of last season. Like, through the first 8 games, 8 or 9 games of the year, he was scoring a rushing and passing touchdown every week. And then over the last 7 games, they scored 10 touchdowns. So really, it comes down to Kyler Murray. Can he sustain the pace that he had early on in the season? And so for me, I think that they can kind of, it'll kind of regress to the mean again. Like, he'll probably increase in touchdowns, even though it's hard to project for touchdowns. I do think that he could end up taking a little step forward touchdown wise, but it doesn't make sense unless he's the second coming of Andre Johnson and just wants to put up those huge numbers and not score enough touchdowns. I still think he's going to be pretty good.
How do you handle Justin Jefferson had 1,400 yards, but only 7 touchdowns. Adam Thielen, 928 yards, but 14 touchdowns. Where do you see Thielen this year? Does he bounce back with some yards?
Yeah, but again, is Thielen going to drop a little bit touchdown-wise? Like, how are the Vikings going to approach this season? Are they going to try to run the football more? That's the one thing that really scares me about taking either one of these Vikings pass catchers, is if the Vikings are improved, Mike Zimmer wants to run the football. He wants to go back to doing football the old-fashioned way. He does not like throwing it as much as he did last year. It was born out of necessity because they were really struggling defensively. They've made some improvements to the offensive and defensive line, or at least they addressed it during the offseason. That's a little bit what scares me. So Thielen is always there in that mix, and I look at him, and I can't pull the trigger on it. Like, I would rather... I would rather just try to focus on somebody who's probably, again, like, I'm just going to say Robert Woods is not even, like, he's as volatile as anybody else. But Thielen in that offense scares me a little bit. Justin Jefferson, I think, is a great player as well, but I know that there's going to be somebody in my draft who is going to overpick him, because they'll pick him because Justin Jefferson will go ahead of A.J. Brown, which should not happen. He'll go ahead of Keenan Allen, which should not happen. I like both of those players a lot. As a matter of fact, when we're talking about projecting forward, A.J. Brown, to me, is a receiver that everybody really should be looking at. I know everybody's concerned that Julio Jones came in, but that's actually better for him. Julio is coming in to replace the production that was left behind by Jonnu Smith, who's now with New England, and Corey Davis, who's now with the Jets.
Right.
Julio, if he matches Jonnu's 8 touchdowns, that's great. That's exactly what we want. I think A.J. Brown is a guy that you need to look at and be like, oh, this is somebody, and he's going in the 3rd round. Like, he's somebody who could possibly break out this season and end up being the wide receiver 1.
Just 30 seconds here. T. Higgins. You got Ja'Marr Chase there. Joe Burrow has not exactly looked like himself. T. Higgins is typically in the 5th round in that neighborhood. 30 seconds value of T. Higgins in the draft?
No, actually, I keep seeing T. Higgins falling to the sixth round. People are scared off of that Cincinnati Bengals situation, which is great for us. We want to take the discount. I'll happily take that. He was one of my favorite players coming into the draft 2 years ago. Played pretty well. And Ja'Marr Chase, it bummed me out a little bit when they drafted him, but I think ultimately this benefits him. With him, Tyler Boyd, so many good weapons out there. I think that he's going to be able to fly underneath the radar a little bit, and I think he's going to end up putting up some big points for you. So I do like T. Higgins. Do not sleep on Jerry Jeudy. 60% of his passes were deemed uncatchable last year. If Teddy Bridgewater can get him the football, he's going to bounce back. And, that was a freebie for me.
That's Adam Wright, by the way, NFL Network and NFL.com. He does great work. I can't wait to see you in person, buddy. I know it's been a couple of years. Hopefully I'll get to see you, and we're going to talk some football this year.
I would love that. Thanks so much, Lance. Robbie Anderson was the other veteran. Had to sneak that one in, but thank you so much. And good luck to everybody in your drafts this weekend.
Robbie Anderson, for those who missed it, that's the other one. Thanks to Adam Rank. Thanks to Field Yates, Dave Richard, and Evan Silver for joining us this fantasy show. We really appreciate those guys. Really appreciate you as well for considering Cars for Kids. CarsForKids.org. That's the website, CarsForKids.org. What is it that they do? Well, they do so much to help fund and create the ability for people to get a second chance at a diploma. And how you can help is take your car or SUV or RV, a motorcycle, truck, it really doesn't matter. Whether it's running or not running, no matter what your issues are, they will take it off your hands. They will take that vehicle, they'll come out there, they'll haul it off, they can do title search and transfer. They do all the work for you, all the heavy lifting. All you do is you just make the call, and you can go to the website for more information at carsforkids.org, and then you get the tax write-off, and you can use it for your tax purposes, and that way you're writing off the car and not the kid. Make sure you go to carsforkids.org. That's carsforkids.org.
Bye, bitch.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.